had Keith White, who is our elder of outreach at the church, lined up to share his story. He is we've quietly agreed that he's going to do that on the 19th because we don't want to cut off the fact that you are sharing your stories. Just last week, we had an open worship time that was full of praise of God's provision and God's greatness, and he's still the same God. But this week, we got to see another side of the body of Christ, and that's the side that hurts and the side that has pain, but also still sees Christ in those journeys. And as your pastor, I have a friend who refers to himself. I do have a friend. At least he drank coffee with me in Grinnell. But he always called himself the lead follower. And really, sometimes you shouldn't even follow me because I'm lost too. But as the lead follower, as your pastor, as your friend, I want you to know that I join with those of you who have requested prayer. And the really good news is there's a whole lot more folks here that are a lot better at praying than I am. And they heard those requests too. And the even better news than all of that is that the loving Heavenly Father heard those requests today. And he's been hearing your prayers all along, but sometimes there's something about being vulnerable and saying, join with me in my faith. So before I speak today, we're only doing one point today, and I planned that ahead of time because of the commissioning and Keith going to share some of his story. So we're not in a hurry, but let's just pray one more time. God, today we thank you that we can bring to you all our hopes, all our fears, all our pain, all our sickness. We can give them to you. And God, throughout this journey, as we're in it together, God, I pray that you'll continue to increase our faith, that you'll continue to increase our hope and our trust. And when minds falters, God, may brothers and sisters in Christ come along beside me and remind me of the promises that you've made, of the purposes that you've called us to and me to. God, we just ask that we would be faithful to be your hands and your feet, your hugging arms, your words of encouragement in the days that come. Help us not to grow tired in encouraging each other, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stories. We've sort of entered into in my mind it was going to be a month, and now it's going to be two. And these things happen, but the narrative of Scripture, and this is the very short version, and we're going to go then do a little bit more than the Reader's Digest condensed version. There was the creation, and that was the first one we looked at as the narrative of Scripture, the accounts of Scripture, that if we take those accounts away, then the rest start to make not sense or become really not logically conclusive. If you take the creation out, and then you take the event that that the Kingery's read to us about temptation and the fall in the garden, if you take those out, then the thing of Easter becomes an act of complete cruelty and cultic violence and senseless, and something that no father would do to his only child, let alone any of his children. And so we had the creation, then we had the fall, and then a couple of weeks ago we looked at this group that they'd gotten out and they'd settled, and they settled on a wide plain, and they decided to build a city, and in this city they decided to build a tower, and in the tower they decided to build, they could work their way back to God, and they could fix it because the relationship with God had been broken, and they maybe didn't know all the answers, and we still don't know all the answers. It's fun to do theology. It's fun to do thinking of God thoughts. It's fun to talk about them with friends, but they were working the best they could, but it was on their own. And on their own, we can't fix it. On my own, I can't fix it. Even Marshall and I, we get together, he and I can't fix it. Well, and it's not, it could be pain in your ankle, it could be pain in your heart, it could be an emptiness that nobody can, whatever that is for you today, it's the fourth time something's come and knocked on your door and you didn't invite it the other three times. You can't fix that on. And so the folks at Babel, we joined them with them in their story. We We join and we say, well, yeah, the creation, you know, God, I don't know how all that happened, but he spun it into being. And then there was the fall, and we join that too, because Nathaniel and Jared and Royce, they always do a great job. But boy, Nathaniel's, it was like I was singing my sermons today as Nathaniel, as he led us in those different hymns of the faith and choruses. And we can't fix it on our own, and we are sinners. And yet God then decided to send one. And today that's where we pick it up, the narrative of Scripture, the stories of Scripture, is we're going to pick up Abraham's story. Have you ever met somebody who's not very good at telling stories? I'll tell you today, this is just not really, this is free. I loved watching my three older kids do stuff. I mean, I yelled at soccer games. I yelled at softball games. You're starting to see a pattern here. I yelled at basketball games. I yelled a lot at wrestling meet. I couldn't yell this morning. My other kids never did that. I was sweating like a trucker over here. I mean, Katie has sang before in public, but it was at our little potato bar variety show at Grinnell, and she sang one of the songs from Frozen. There's not that kind of pressure when you're singing the offertory in the middle of a worship service. So I was nervous, but she did great. But that girl needs to work on her storytelling. I pick her up from school. What'd you learn today? Blah, 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 blah. Well, did anything happen today? Well, yeah. And this is where some of you parents need to, she's got, and then, da, 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 and so-and-so, and then, and so-and-so, and then. And about after 10 and thens, I say, and I don't know, I had to call my friend Anthony. I miss Anthony. Anthony and I worked together for 17 years, and he and I are wired different. Anthony could remember all sorts of quotes and songs and lines, and he was Mr. Movie Guy. And I said, where did and then come for? And there's a movie. I'm not suggesting, I'm not going to tell you the movie, but there's a movie that says, and then, and then, and then, and then. And finally he goes, and no more and then. And so sometimes in my talk, I go, no more and then. And Katie goes, okay. And then Mrs. Bryan. And usually there's an and then Sawyer. And there's and then Hannah. Some of us, we tell stories. There's a line from, and I didn't see this movie either. I had to call Anthony, my friend, and it was such a joy to work with him. And I want to say I've only worked with Casey and Tracy a short time, and both of those ladies deserve much more credit than they get, and they make this church and me in particular look so much better than I really am, and I want to publicly thank them and acknowledge that. But Anthony informed me that this was a line, some lines from a Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. I didn't see it either, but the girl's friend who really loves her, which is kind of the case, but this Tad Hamilton, an actor, he asked her to tell him about how it went with this date, and she told him, and then the dialogue picks up here. I can't remember a time before you started telling that story. Isn't that a great line? I can't remember a time before you started telling that story. And she responds back, I was asked to provide a detailed explanation of an evening. And he says, and you did, Rosie. You really did. I felt like I was there, sort of against my will. So, probably 20 years ago, I attended Ken Davis. He's a Christian comedian, but he also did for a while the Dynamics Communicators Workshop. And in that workshop, he just drilled into us the power of a story. The power of a story. And even though some of us are better at telling stories than others, there is no better story than the story of Jesus Christ. There's no better story than the one that you can encourage your kids to open. And begin with, Genesis is several of our stories that we've already done. And today's story is taken, the first three are right out of the book of Genesis. And if you can read those stories, but they're more than stories. They're narratives. They're accounts of things that actually happened. One Christian comedian said his wife came home, and maybe some of you have had this happen. Have you ever had your wife say, guess how much I paid for this? And this Christian comedian quips, he goes, apparently the answer is a story. Well, first it was on sale for 50% off, but then I had a coupon. That reminds me of some other theory I have, and then we'll get to the point. You know, we've talked about the fall, and we read about it today, and the serpent who was wiser than any other serpent, and the temptation, and the enemy really wouldn't have had to tempt the woman. He could have just marked the apple half off. Boy, I'm going to, should have left it where I was at. So, we're going to jump into point number three now. Where are you from, Hayseed? Where are you from? In Galatians 3:16, now this, just think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the seed, the only child. He gave his only child that we who believe. Well, another great verse is Galatians 3:16, and this is just the first part, and then we're going to look at the second part quickly in just a little bit. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Okay, Abraham came out of nowhere, just kind of some country bumpkin from someplace, didn't come from the right side of the tracks, didn't even have the tracks in his neighborhood. He really appeared out of nowhere, out of obscurity. Obscurity is hard to come by these days. We parents aren't in the habit, and it's kind of an awkward Sunday for me since my daughter sang in front of all of you. We parents aren't in the habit of keeping our kids' talents and abilities a secret. In fact, we're in the opposite business. We don't keep our kids out of the public eye or under wraps or off the radar. If they excel in athletics, academics, the arts, they have any aptitudes or abilities, it is tweeted, posted, Instagram, blogged, shared a lot. And I got news from you. Your kids aren't that great. No, but boy, we're always looking and promoting, and so nobody really sneaks up on us anymore. If your kid is a prodigy, they are whisked off and groomed, and they're on 16 different traveling teams. And I'm not saying those are wrong, but boy. There was a young woman in Grinnell, Iowa, who won the state 3A golf championship as a freshman. And then she did it again as a sophomore. And then we never saw her again because her parents sent her to North Carolina to go to school. During the morning, she went to class. In the afternoon, she played golf all afternoon. She got out of there, and she never wanted to play golf again. And sometimes it works just the opposite. And then she's on the LPGA winning lots of tours and all of that. But we are not in the habit of hiding these kids. Phenoms are promoted, produced, placed in the limelight. Wonder kids are put on American Idol, America's Got Talent, The Voice. I mean, Nathaniel showed so much talent. We had him at the Potato Bar variety show, front and center. You sang a Tim Hawkins song, didn't you? Do you still know that one? Yeah, it's pretty good. But he was our wonder kid. He was a virtuoso. But we didn't hide it. In our time, if they're good at some junior sport, they're promoted. We're always looking for the next Tiger Woods or the next Michael Jordan or the next LeBron James or the next Peyton Manning or the next Tom Brady. In fact, very seldom, I don't think it's probably ever going to happen again where we say, well, that guy came out of nowhere. Now, there is a young man who plays for the Boston Celtics, the greatest NBA team ever, but who was the last pick of the draft the year he was drafted. They have two rounds in the NBA. He was draft pick number 60, and he was an all-star this year. He's 5'9". Maybe he's one of those guys we could say we did, but very seldom do we say, wow, that came out of left field. You think about a lot of the heroes of our faith that you read about in the Old Testament, the New Testament, most of them we didn't see coming. Now, Noah, it said ahead of time, he was a righteous man, and then God called him. But most of the time, they came out of obscurity. And today, Father Abraham, we sing about him now, but we wouldn't have saw him coming. And as you read this narrative of Scripture, realize that he came out of obscurity, and God called him. God called him to be the father of the children of Israel. But because of what happened through the children of Israel and Abraham's seed, we get to sing. It's not we sing Father Abraham about the children of Israel. The rest of us, besides Nate Perrin, I think he's our only Jewish representative of heritage. All right? The rest of us wouldn't get to sing Father Abraham. All right? Sing it. Okay, so he had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. You know why? Because of the seed of Jesus. Where are you from, Hayseed? Well, I'm from Abraham. But Abraham, I'm sure, as we think about this unheralded man named Abraham, of all the people of the ages, there would be one that would come who would bring fulfillment of all of God's promises. Not just that Abraham would have descendants as many as the stars, but one of his descendants, one of those descending from Abraham, from Sarah, would save us from our sins. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It's in the scriptures, and Paul being a student of the scriptures, and Paul being one of those Pharisees of Pharisees who grew up in the church, who knew all the right answers, who was a zealot. He says the scripture, now this is the second part of Galatians 3:16. It's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. The scriptures does not say and to seeds. There's three places in Genesis, Genesis 12:7, Genesis 13:15, and Genesis 24:7, that the NIV translates offspring. That word for offspring in Hebrew is seed. Seed. Not seeds, not offsprings. All right? It's to Abraham's seed. And Paul says in Galatians 3, the second part of verse 16, and the scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, and then he makes no doubt, and then he puts a period at the end, who is Christ? Folks, the reason we're not still in the garden, the reason we're still not in our sins, the reasons we're still not having to do what the children that settled on the wide plain, and I kind of like it that we're in Haviland. These people, they settled, and it was nice. It's a nice place they settled, and they began to build a city, and in the middle of the city, they built a tower, and they said, we're going to do something. We can make a name for ourselves. It's about us. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to do it on our own because of this fascinating account where God puts a whole thing, and he says, out of this obscure start, and then even out of an obscure town of Bethlehem, and then even out of the wrong side of the tracks, Nazareth, and not from royalty, but a carpenter's son, this seed that's taught throughout the spectrum and the scope of Scripture, not seeds, don't miss that. Don't go to sleep on that. Out of Abraham, your seed, and remember, Abraham wasn't 25. He wasn't 30, right? He had some doubts. He had some, you know, God, have you put this together? And then he even tried to get it done on his own. You remember that? I was going to say something political, but I realized that's just stupid. Abraham's descendants wouldn't get through our airports right now. That's the seed. That's the seed he came up with on his own, that half of the family. But the other half of the family, as you trace it down, as we read from Scripture, we can say, we should see that coming. So we have this great advantage. We have the scope of Scripture. We, as American Christians, with the Bibles on our phones, in our hands, and all the studies we have a whole library four or five blocks away. I should have counted. It's a short walk full of great books. It shouldn't surprise us. We shouldn't wake up on Easter and go, holy cow, there's a Savior. We shouldn't say at Christmas time, do you have any? I am shocked about Christmas. We have all the prophets, and we're going to get to those as we walk through these narratives. But today, we can look at the story of the garden, and then the wide plain and the time to do it on our own, and then we can join with Abraham and say, there's a seed. And that seed, according to Galatians 3:16, is singular. It's not the Jewish people that save us. It's not the Quakers that save us. It's Jesus Christ. We have a Savior. He descended from Abraham, a nobody from nowhere, who was way too old to be getting into that kind of business. And God did promise him land and possessions and a whole children of Israel, but he also said, through your seed, don't sleep on this. Don't miss this. It's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, get to know him today. Let's pray. God, today we thank you that we have Jesus. We thank you that because of Jesus and because of his stripes on the cross, we can believe we are healed. And we can believe with brothers and sisters in Christ that they can be healed. And we also thank you that because of the cross and because of the empty tomb, that we have the gift of salvation, which is free because of grace. God, today, help us to think about Scripture differently. Help us not to realize we don't worship Scripture. We worship in spirit and in truth. But in that truth and in that spirit, as the Spirit leads us to open our eyes to see that we have a sin problem. But you didn't leave us there. And that also we can see that we can't fix it on our own. And I've watched people make great efforts. They're talented. They're gifted. But they can't do it on their own. I can't do it on their own. I can't even come close. But that you sent a Savior, the seed of Abraham, to die for me. God, today I pray if there's someone here who does not know you, that they will turn to you in faith and believe. That they will say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for making a place in heaven for me. May I begin to live my life and serve you. We pray in his name. Amen. Once again, if you prayed that prayer today, if you joined that story today, please tell somebody. It doesn't have to be me, but tell somebody you know you can trust that will pray for you and encourage you. All right? Would you do that? Thanks for being here today. Thanks for being part of a great service on so many levels. Bless you. Hug some people. Smile at some folks. Shake some hands. You're dismissed.